ready for takeoff.
Welcome to the Remote CEO Show. My name is De Niro Bartolini, aka De Niro B. I'm an acclaimed business coach, and my moonshot is to change the face of work and business forever. With each episode, we bring you some of the most inspiring and insightful interviews with 6, 7, 8, and 9-figure entrepreneurs to crack the code on how to build your remote empire and have fun while doing it. Thanks for stopping by, and let's get started. What is going on, CEOs? De Niro B here with another episode of the Remote CEO Show. Today I'm here with Rich LeBrun. Rich is the founder and CEO of LeBrun Advisory Group, Inc. and the owner in the franchising consulting company where he works with clients around the US and many countries around the world. Rich is the author of What's My Next Move, and he's been featured in many business publications for his work around franchising. Having had the opportunity to own and operate several successful businesses throughout his 40-year career, Rich has been able to build this empire from the comfort of his own home while traveling with his family. A true remote CEO story. I'm very excited. Let's get right into it. Rich, thanks a lot for being at the Remote CEO Show. I'm very excited for you to be here today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, it's my pleasure. You have an amazing business story to tell us. But before we get into that, I ask every single one of my guests to tell us what they were doing before they started their business. So what is your story?
My story? Well, I'm currently 67, but at 60 years old, I actually is when I start my own business. And but I was in commercial real estate for 30 years, my entire career. And we managed, you know, large real estate projects for pension funds, insurance companies, et cetera. And then I found myself in the market at 60. And I said, well, gosh, I got to reinvent myself. And so I did. I've always wanted to be my own boss, the CEO, but I had some certain parameters. I wanted certain things. I wanted to work remotely. That was a key thing. I wanted to be able to travel. I wanted to have, not necessarily, I wanted virtual staff. I wanted support. So I went out there and tried to figure out what the avenues that I could do that would fit what I like to do, which is like talking about business. And I ended up came across the franchise industry, and then I became a consultant. So I help people reach their dreams, similar to what I got a chance to do for mine.
It's a very interesting story. I had a lot of guests on my show, and a lot of people started their business later in life as well. And, you know, 60 years old, some people think that they need to start thinking about retiring, but you actually are an amazing example of what you can do when you get to 60 years old, and you're 67 right now. You're going strong with your business, but you're not working, you know, just nearly as much as people may think when they're starting and scaling a business, because you have a remote business yourself, and you have virtual assistants or remote assistants who are helping you. Is that the case?
It is. It is. And I had a large staff when I was in corporate America. I had 100 people reporting to me. And I said, well, I do have certain needs and wants as far as being a CEO, but I didn't want to hire staff. So I work with people in the Philippines, actually, are people who I have a staff of 4 over there that support me.
That's amazing. So let's actually start talking about the nuts and bolts of what it means to operate a truly remote business. First off, can you give us an idea of how your day plays out? What, from when you wake up to when you go to sleep? I mean, anything between what you do for the business, also as well as self-care, family time, and everything else.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that question. Yeah, I did a lot of thinking about this when I wanted to design this next chapter, what I call the next chapter in life. What did I want it to look like? And there's certain things that were important to me that I really said, I'm going to design and find a career, a company that I could run or build that would do that. One of them was flexibility. I wanted to have flexibility in my schedule. I wanted to be able to take off when I wanted to. I always remember reading the book Tim Ferriss put out, 4-Hour Work Week. Okay, I said, okay, that was my vision. I wanted to get my time down manageable to the things that I wanted to do. And so I started thinking about all the things that were important to me. So time was important to me, flexibility, working from home, making a good income. Okay.
Yeah.
And having a product that I could really get behind and I'm passionate about. And I love what I do. So it being 67, I don't see myself quitting. We are down working 3 days a week now. And it took us about 4 years to build that, but now we're down to 3 days a week. And we have a whole system that's running. We got a team of people. As I mentioned a little bit before the show, we're packing up to move to warmer weather for the winter to escape the Chicago winters. So that's important to me. We had to design what that life will look like. And then we built a business around that.
100%. And so when you're talking about the things that you like to do with your, outside of your business, you work 3 days a week. Is that because you really wanted to only work 3 days a week? Some people, for example, like to work anywhere between 3 to 4 hours a day, but work those 5 or even 6 days a week. But you were able to condense, I guess, all the work within those 3 days. And then the other days, I guess, you're out and about doing some thinking, but also spending time with your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have three kids, five grandkids. So we spend a lot of time with our family. I was listening to your podcast on the 5-hour rule. So I like that. So I'll have to adapt some of that to my new strategy, thinking more about what even the 3 days a week, what specifically do I want to accomplish in that time? But I listen to a lot of podcasts. I mean, in my personal time, we ask me what I do to gear up for my business. When I'm at the health club, I'm always listening to different leaders. I want to know what they're doing about their business. I get a chance to learn from them and apply that to my business so I can become more efficient. I'm technologically smart enough. I'm not savvy, but smart enough to know the value of technology so I can become more efficient. I want to be able to run my phone from an app. I mean, my business from a phone app. And I can do that. I want to be able to have, people like remotely and virtually that I can have access to whenever I need to get the things done, what I consider on a day-to-day basis. So I study a lot about that, how to be more efficient, how to keep, my margins in the right category, right perspective, so my profitability is strong. So.
Awesome. Awesome. And so now let's talk about those 20%. And, we're always like the Pareto principle, and a lot of people say we always overuse it. But honestly, think about it. It does make so much sense, because if you want to run a business the right way without burning out, you're going to identify those 20% of the tasks that will yield 80% of the results. And you're absolutely doing exactly that. So if you were to look at your calendar right now, okay, so you're working 3 days a week, which means you really found out what those high impact tasks are. So if you were to categorize those tasks, are you specifically working on what's really moving the needle? That's my question right now, that you know that you need to do yourself. And what are the other tasks that you feel very confident giving to someone else to do for you?
Yeah, great question. So I look at, if I break down my business, what I specifically do, or my highest value return, is I deal with the customers on the sales side of things. My customers are thinking about buying a business, so I'm the one who's their coach. Okay, that's my highest return. Okay, so I make sure that's what I do. But I have to build a whole lead generation program behind that. Okay, and this is where I use my virtual staff to go out there and generate business for me, and then I deal with the clients. And then I had the actual business itself, meaning you had to pay the bills, right? Your administrative things. And my wife, who's here with me, she loves doing that. So she picks up all those tasks. So I get a chance to do what I get the highest return. And by the way, I also love doing the most. I love having the conversations with my clients, helping them reach their dreams, coaching them through the whole way of process. So I've carved that out. I used to do it all myself, by the way, when I first started. And now this is all I do, is this piece of the puzzle.
100%. And, I always tell my listeners at home, even if you're getting started and you feel like you're doing everything yourself, I mean, it's okay if you're getting started, but the goal is that as soon as you have enough money to hire someone to do that work for you, find out what the threshold of, the per hour pay would be for it. And if it doesn't make sense for you to do that action, for example, if you're charging $500 an hour to get on the phone with a client, don't start doing a bunch of $15 to $20 an hour tasks and, stop yourself from potentially
paying someone else to get those clients and keep on making $500 an hour. So that makes total sense. Now, I wanted to switch gears now and talk about your team members. You said that you have people in the Philippines before. I mean, right now. My question is, A, have you ever tried anybody from other countries as well? And then you decided to work with people from the Philippines? And B, do you use agencies that provide you with VAs? Or do you speak to someone specifically, you hire them and you have them on a one-on-one basis working for you?
Yeah, I actually did not use agencies. I found a couple of websites and I went out there and interviewed people just like I would interview people in the US. So we got on Zoom, except we use technology like Zoom. They submitted a resume. I did interview, you know, I did train them, everything I could do like an employee. The fact that they were in another country was really just secondary. But I had certain key requirements. So he asked me, do I work in different countries? My clients are 99% in the US. So English was an important language that people had to speak. Okay. So that was in writing good grammar in English without having some of the slang from different countries was very important to me in how we present our services to our clients. So I had to go through a few of them. Okay. And then I found one that was actually just was perfect, highly educated, very smart, good at marketing. They kind of handle my marketing. They handle all my administrative skills. And then I started building a team around that person. This worked really, really well. The only challenge would be time zones. Now, it's not for me, but other people may consider, you know, working with another country in different time zones. But you find out people who like to work virtually will really adapt to U.S. time zones. So that ended up not being the challenge that I thought it could be.
100%. And I know because so Chicago is central time. Is that correct?
Central time.
So,
right.
So we're based in Toronto. We're working from Italy right now. So we're 7 hours ahead of you. And I believe that the Philippines are 6 hours ahead of me sometimes. So right. There's anywhere between 12 to 13 hour time difference. However, like you said, I do have two or three of my staff members from there. And we find that, we definitely, as long as we have those two or three overlapping hours throughout the day where I can communicate to them, they're really, really flexible with getting in touch with our clients. And really everything has been running smoothly. Another question that I wanted to ask you is about how to train someone remotely and how do you get that confidence to let go of control when someone is so far away and they're not in the next office over?
Yeah, very great question. Depends on the task. So I'll break it down to a couple of different tasks. I have people who make calls for me. Okay. So I initially trained them. I gave them the script and I had them call me. And then I actually had them call friends of mine. I said, I wanted them to call them cold and read the script and go over it. So then I got feedback from people that I knew. Okay. So I could get that understood. So I keep track of that. Plus, they give me metrics. I get metrics all the time about how many calls they make and how many appointments get set, et cetera. Excuse me. So that's how I train those folks. The other people who do administrative work, that's a lot easier. Those are just task-driven. If I give them an Excel sheet to do or creativity to create a flyer or brochure, that's very task-driven. And what I just have to do with them is give them deadlines. I'm not there to manage them, so I don't know the work they're doing. So you turn this into more metrics of production. My lead callers, if I don't get appointments, I can see that in the payback. My people do administrative or marketing tasks. I need a brochure done by Friday. That's how I manage them from a distance.
That makes total sense. Now, you brought up phone calls, and this is actually something very interesting because a lot of people that I've coached in the past, even now, and my listeners, even on Instagram, they ask me, De Niro, how do I set up someone that is abroad with a calling system so that they can call in the United States or Canada or anywhere else in the world? So do you have a voice over IP system that you've provided them, or do they come already with their own line that they can use?
I actually bought a Skype line with a US number and I give that for them to use. I give them access to certain pieces of my business, like my calendar, okay, and my CRM, so they have access, which you have to earn trust to do that, right? But I, but they have access to those pieces of the puzzle, and then the Skype number is works real well. And I, but I get a US number.
So. Yeah, absolutely. This makes so much sense because, you know, if we had this conversation even just 10 years ago, it might have been a bit harder for us to set up our remote teams that were that far with a US number or Canadian number, where we're from. But nowadays, folks, for you that you're listening at home and you're wondering, how is this possible? You just need to be smart in how to use your money that you start getting from your first sales, from your first clients who you're helping, or your first, you know, products and orders that you're getting. You just reinvest it in the right things. Like Rich is saying right now, a Skype number is not going to break the bank. Actually, if you give it to the person, the right person that is trained the right way, you're going to make a ton of money and get a lot of sales if you, again, do things the right way. So Rich, listen, let me ask you, what is your plan? Are you planning on scaling your team? And do you already have some sort of like an operations manager that takes care of your team so you don't even have to worry about that? Or is it something that you're planning on doing in the near future?
That's actually my next step. My next step is to add one more person, one more layer in here to take more of this, allow me to stay more in this vision mode and in scalable mode and train more of them, more what I do. So they could take a piece of my client interaction. There's a term called being prizing yourself, not trying to be arrogant, but to create an environment where that you're prized enough for your clients to want to talk to you. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's the next layer that I'm trying to build in that can handle a piece of my client interaction and then say, okay, we'll get you set up with Rich to talk to you about actually owning a business. It kind of increases my level as far as pricing. It also reduces the amount of time that I have to spend on the overall process.
That's amazing. Honestly, you're giving out some tips that some people would pay thousands of dollars in a one-on-one coaching call or what you're doing right now. So we thank you very much for saying that. And if you don't mind me adding something, like, you know, we have a group coaching program, and the reason why we have a group coaching program in place is because there's that added layer. If someone then wants to talk to me on a one-on-one basis, then they have to pay a premium because, again, they have my undivided attention. If they're okay with a group coaching setting, then hey, they're just going to go ahead and hop on a call. Sometimes they may be like it. There's only one or two people on the call. Sometimes it may be seven or eight people. But again, that layer is definitely going to add more freedom, first off, in your calendar, which is what all of us remote CEOs are really looking for. And it's going to increase revenue as well. So Rich, we had a great conversation. I want to ask you, what is your next step again with your business, except adding the layer, but are you planning on expanding outside of the United States? Are you planning on selling the business in the future? What's in store for you?
Yeah, we do work around different parts of the world, which I have not ventured into yet. So that would be a next chapter also, to kind of go outside the US. Our company's designed for that. I would say to bring a family member in, hand this off as a legacy. That would be a goal for me. Again, I love what I do. I love coaching, and this is something that could go on forever. People wanting to own a business, as you know, all your people are CEOs, right? They got a chance to reach that dream. That dream is never going to die. So it's just helping people facilitate to get there, like you're doing. So I think make a legacy, hand it off to one of my kids.
That's amazing. Amazing. So Rich, I know that my listeners will want to know more about what you do and about your business. So where can people find you online?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, Rich LeBrun on LinkedIn. My website is rlebrun.com. So you can find out a little bit about what we do and services that we offer. And that'd probably be the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Awesome, Rich. Again, thanks a lot for being at the Remote CEO Show. I'm looking forward to having you back in the future. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of the day.
Well, thank you for your time. And I did listen to a lot of your podcasts. I find it extremely helpful. There's definitely going to be a part of my daily diet. So thanks for all that you're doing too.
Thank you. And this is it for today, CEOs. Thanks for staying with us until the end. Can I ask you a big favor? can you please leave a review? I know the podcast app is not super straightforward, so if you don't know how to leave a review, just DM me on Instagram at DeNiroB, DeNiroB, and I will send you the direct link to the review section. And to show you my appreciation, I will answer any business question you ask me during that conversation. So thank you again, and I will talk to you again soon.